Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I want to take a question from Scripture and consider the answer to this question with you. I believe this question to be an ageless question. I believe it to be the most important question that you can ask and to which you can find an answer. This question is a biblical question. And this question has a biblical answer. The biblical answer to this question must be the answer that you accept. The question is recorded in Acts 16 and verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want you to read that question very carefully. What must I do to be saved? To be saved, there is something that I must do. There is an answer that I must find within the pages of Scripture. God has an answer for this question because God wants men to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, concerning God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The God of heaven wants all men to be saved. But in order to be saved, we must come unto a knowledge of the truth. The truth gives us the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? The truth informs me, what must I do to be saved? Salvation is not optional. There are conditions that God has set forth by which we are saved. We must do what God wants us to do to be saved. We must accept the conditions that God has given for us to be saved. Because God wants me to be saved. Salvation is the work of God. I can only be saved because God wants me to be saved and will allow me to be saved through obedience to the truth that He has delivered through Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. The Lord does not renege on His promise. The Lord does not forget His promise. Time may pass. Years may elapse. But the God of heaven will always do as He has promised. The God of heaven will be faithful to the promise that He has made. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. There were mockers in that day who were mocking God because of the promise that He had made to come again. Time had passed, and the Lord had not come. And these mockers looked and said, "Well, then He's not going to come." Do not believe that. Do not believe that the Lord is not going to come. Do not accept the philosophy and the teaching that God will not fulfill His promise. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has God not come, according to the Apostle Peter? Why has God not yet fulfilled this promise? Because He is long-suffering. Consider the long-suffering of God. Consider how patient God is with man. Consider how much time He gives for man to change his life and to conform to the promise of salvation. God is long-suffering. Why is He so long-suffering? Not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any single individual should perish. God does not desire the loss of a single soul. Every individual that has been created of God, Every creature that has come into life because of the process that God set in motion in the long ago, God desires that they be saved, but that all should come to repentance. We must come to repentance. We must accept the conditions that God has given that I must do to be saved. God has provided for man's salvation because God is the one that we have offended. The reason that we stand lost and condemned and need to be saved is because we have not obeyed the law of God. We have sought our own way. We have gone unto our own devices. We have followed our own will. We have conformed ourselves and given ourselves to the lust and the passions of the flesh. We have followed the ways of Satan. We have been intrigued by his various devices by which he tempts us and lures us away from God. We are lost because of our own sin and our own choice. And so God has provided for our salvation. God is the only one that can provide for our salvation. Men have devices by which they suggest and by which they teach that we can be saved, but they are foreign to the Bible. God has provided for man's salvation because God wants me to be saved. Hebrews 2 and verse 10, "For it became him." It became the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer in Hebrews 2 is speaking of Jesus Christ. It became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus Christ has become the captain of our salvation, and he has become perfect through the sufferings that he endured. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They tell about the suffering Christ. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 predicts for us a Christ who would come into the world crowned with suffering. He would not live an easy life. He would not live a comfortable life. He would not experience contentment and peace and joy in every aspect of his life, but rather he would suffer so that he could be made perfect, so that he could be fit to be my Redeemer. Jesus Christ was the one for whom are all things and by whom are all things. The reason we have all things in the world today is because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the creator of all things. All things have their beginning in Jesus. And yet he had to suffer so that he might be made perfect in becoming the captain of my salvation. I can be saved because of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, Jesus Christ was made perfect by the sufferings that he endured. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 2 and verse 10, Jesus is described as the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, Jesus is presented as the author of eternal salvation. This is not salvation for a time. One might be saved from some tragic incident in life and later experience another incident that will bring about death or loss. Jesus came to give us eternal salvation because we are eternal beings. We have been created, according to Genesis chapter 1, in the very image of God. That does not mean that we have some physical likeness to God, but rather we have been created as spirits by God. We have a spiritual nature. We are beings that will live on and on and on and never cease to exist. And so Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Take note of that phrase. Mark it in your Bible in Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Unto them that obey Him. Because the problem with humanity is that not all will obey the Lord Jesus Christ. There are actually people who live upon the earth in our culture who believe that God is such a good God, a merciful God, a loving God, that He will save all people. But the Bible does not teach that doctrine. We cannot find that lesson revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. God will only save those who obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I must know what I need to do in order to obey Jesus Christ. I must have a biblical answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? There are people who tell us that we can do nothing to be saved. And yet the question is, what must I do? There are actions that I must take. There are commands that I must obey. There are precepts that I must follow. God has designed a way of salvation because He wants all men to be saved, but He wants them saved in His way, after His manner. And so Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He is the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith is contained in Jesus Christ. We must come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. He is my way to God. He is the revelation of God's truth. He is life eternal. I must come to know Him. I must follow Him. God has chosen that salvation be in and through Jesus Christ. God has provided for my salvation. He has sent Jesus into the world. Jesus has endured the cross. He has despised the shame and is now, even now, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, where He is the captain and the author of salvation. Man will only be lost if he refuses to obey what God teaches that we must follow and we must accept. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We're saved in two ways. Two divine precepts are necessary for the salvation of man. They are presented in this single verse of Scripture. We are saved first by grace, the grace of God. I do not deserve grace because I am a sinner, but God has shown His grace. God has revealed His grace. God has made His grace known. God's grace is His willingness to save me and you and all of humanity from sin. The second essential ingredient of salvation in this verse is faith. Grace, God's salvation. Faith, man's acceptance of God's salvation. God's grace and man's faith will save him. It's not anything that man can do to merit that salvation, to earn that salvation, to stand in the good favor of God. It remains the gift of God. Salvation is a gift that God has offered unto man. Let me ask you, have you in your life received all gifts that have been offered unto you? A gift can either be accepted or refused. The gift of salvation offered by God is received by many because they believe. But the gift of salvation is also rejected by many because they do not believe. God has still been gracious to man in offering salvation, in providing salvation, in securing salvation through Jesus Christ. But man, on the other hand, has not always accepted that salvation. The salvation of God must be accepted by my faith. God's grace and my faith will save my soul. John 5 and verse 40. Jesus is speaking to a group of people. And he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Why could they not have life? Because they would not come. Why are people going to be lost and separated from God throughout eternity? Because they will not come to me. There were those in the days of Jesus that would not come to him. He pleaded with people to come. He almost begged people to come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Listen to those tender words of Jesus. But not everyone came. All were heavy laden. All of humanity is laden, heavy laden with sin and burdens. And Jesus offers in the midst of that burden and that unrest to give us peace. Peace to our soul, with the assurance that we are right with God, that we have been saved by the blood of Christ, that we have accepted the grace of God. But yet not all would come. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together under my wings, even as I would have gathered thee together, even as a chicken gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." Man will only be lost if he refuses to obey. Because God has provided salvation, God desires us to be saved. Acts 2 and verse 40, Peter has preached this great sermon at Pentecost. He has declared the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He has proclaimed Christ as the Savior of humanity. He has announced that Jesus, through God's providence and God's working, has made Jesus Christ both Lord and Christ. He has seated him at his own right hand, made him head over his church, given unto him all authority. And that multitude listens, and they're pricked in their heart, verse 37, Acts 2. They ask, "What shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do?" And verse 40 says, "With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, crooked generation." You're going to have to decide whether or not you will be saved. You and you alone must decide whether or not you will accept the conditions that God has set forth for the salvation of humanity. Let me suggest to you that we, the sinner, must realize that we are lost and in need of salvation. Before I seek salvation, I must know that I need salvation. I must admit that I am lost. I must see myself as lost and separated from God. All are guilty of sin. Romans 3, 22, 23, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How many? Who? All have sinned. You and me and everyone. And we have come short of the glory of God. This is how all men are alike. There is no difference. We may be different in personality. We may be different in knowledge. We may be different in understanding. We are different in how we look. But there is a way in which there is no difference among men. And how sad that way is, in that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must realize, understand, accept that we are lost, that we have sinned, and that we are in need of salvation. 1 John 1, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Why? Because God has said that we have sinned. God knows that we have sinned. And his word declares that there is none righteous, no, not one, and that all have sinned. All fall under the condemnation of God because of sin. And if we claim that we have not sinned, then we make God a liar, because God has testified that we have sinned, and his word is not in us, because his word declares that we have sinned, therefore we are in need of salvation. The sinner must see his need of God's grace. I must realize that I need the grace of God. I cannot save myself. I am weak. I have sinned. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have transgressed God's law. I have fallen short of his glory. I must see that I need God's grace. In Matthew 9 and verse 12, Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The sick need a physician. I am sick with sin, and therefore I need a physician. In Luke 18:13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man saw himself as a sinner, and because he saw himself in this way, he said, God, be merciful to me. We must see our need of the grace of God. We must see our need of God's salvation. We must see our need of God's manner of pardon. And we must ask the way of salvation. In Acts 2, verses 36 and 37, Peter says to this multitude, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. They saw themselves as God saw them. They understood who they were in the light of God. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We need to ask that question. We need to seek the answer to that question. We must find God's answer to that question. In Acts 9 and verse 6, Saul of Tarsus is on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, to place into prison and to punish those who follow Christ in his way. And he sees this great light, and this voice from heaven speaks to him. It is Jesus. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Today you need to ask, and I need to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Because you see, in confessing him as Lord, I'm willing to submit unto his will. I'm willing to follow his teachings. I'm willing to do what he wants me to do. What wilt thou have me to do? Not what do I want to do, not what might I do, but what must I do? Must is the important word. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? The conditions of salvation are not optional. We must follow them and accept them. The lost must obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, the scripture says, in flaming fire, this is concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What an eternal fate is pronounced upon those who will not obey the gospel of Christ, who will not know God. I must obey the gospel. To obey the gospel, I must believe the gospel. Mark 16, 15 and 16, He said unto them, His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 8 and verse 12, Philip has gone to Samaria. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. I must believe the gospel. The gospel is contained in the pages of Scripture. The gospel is revealed with true biblical scriptural preaching, and I must believe the gospel. I must confess Jesus Christ. There must be a confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 John 4, 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And so I must confess what I believe. I must acknowledge with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That knowledge comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. There must be repentance of sin. I must turn from sin and turn to God. I must give myself to the obedience of the will of God and follow God and walk with God all the days of my life. Acts 2 and verse 38, this multitude had asked Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized, because they believed that Jesus was the Christ. And so they were to repent. They were to change their life. Because of the belief that is created in the heart by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ, we repent. We change our life. We change the way we live. We change the way we think, and the way we think will change our behavior. Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is a commandment of God. It is not an option that is presented to man, not a suggestion that is given to man, but a commandment of God. And finally, we must be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26, 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And so here is what I must do to be saved. I must realize that I am a sinner in need of the grace of God, and by faith I must come to God, believing the gospel, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repenting of sin, and putting on Christ in baptism. I must be baptized to be saved, and the time of my salvation is now. I must not wait. I must not procrastinate. I must not delay. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time of accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, because now is the only opportunity that you truly have. All other opportunities may vanish. Life may not be given anymore. We must obey God now. You see how important, how vital this question is. What must I do to be saved. And in the pages of Holy Writ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, therein is the answer revealed. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.